Dr. Steiger, this story of chasing the EFs and stopping and starting, oncologists are kind of trying to follow the clinical trials in terms of what was done in the trials, but real practice, you have other things to factor in. This woman had 3 positive nodes, which is a factor to consider. Do you think there are times when maybe the trial guidelines can be stretched a little bit, and in what kind of situations?
I wasn't at the table when the guidelines were put into effect, and I don't fully understand the rationale for the guidelines, frankly. Particularly with this change in ejection fraction within the normal range, I'm not quite sure I understand why literally a 78 ejection fraction going to a 63 ejection fraction or 62 ejection fraction. I don't understand why one would think that that is a physiologically important change. I can understand when you start fluctuating near the lower limit of normal where the room for error is less because you have larger end systolic and end diastolic volumes. And I would imagine they were constructed, if I may make an educated guess, because it was a multicenter trial and they were trying to be sure that err on the safe side rather than exposing the patients to the cardiotoxicity. But were I consulting on a patient in clinical practice and the ejection fraction went from 78 to 62 or 63, I would tell the oncologist that I don't think that that's... I would look at the study to be sure that there weren't other pathological indicators on the study. But assuming there weren't, with an ejection fraction like that, I would not advise them to stop therapy.
Dennis, do you agree?
I agree that we don't know what those drops mean. I disagree when some of that information gets taken to say there's no problem here. There is a definite signal coming out of the trials, unless I don't know how to read the data at all, that there is a loss of left ventricular function when these two drugs are given together. It is either clinical or it's subclinical, but there's a significant increase in the loss of left ventricular function. We're treating women in the adjuvant setting. We now learn from the 13,000 women in the HER2 and the Herceptin adjuvant trials that the median age of these women is 49. The median age of breast cancer in general is 62 to 63. So it's younger women, and we're seeing this signal. They have not yet accrued their other life events that could impact cardiac function. If this is a real signal and it's sustained, it may be a problem. If it's not and they all recover, no harm, no foul. And the efficacy data are incredible. So the efficacy has to be weighed against the toxicity. But I've tried to be cautious. There's no bigger advocate for Herceptin than me. But I've tried to be cautious about saying that there's no issue here when there's subclinical losses above the lower limits of normal.